This is Bloomberg Law with June Grosso and Mark Mills.
Many people thought these definitive words from NBA Commissioner Sterling on April 30th would end the upheaval caused by LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling's racist remarks.
Effective immediately, I am banning Mr. Sterling for life from any association with the Clippers organization or the NBA.
They were wrong. That was just the beginning. Sterling opened up a third front in his fight with the NBA just 2 days ago, filing a new lawsuit against his wife, the NBA, Commissioner Adam Silver, and former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, accusing them of fraud in the proposed $2 billion sale of the Clippers to Ballmer. That's in addition to the antitrust lawsuit Sterling filed last month to block the sale, and in addition to the probate trial that is still ongoing. Here's Silver last Wednesday.
It's very difficult to say anything with certainty in a situation like this. I can say with certainty we are doing everything in our power to move Donald out as an owner in the NBA. Shelley, it appears that she's done all the right things as set out in their trust agreement. I'll only say that if for whatever reason the judge ultimately doesn't decide in favor of Shelley, we'll reactivate our proceedings to terminate the franchise.
But Donald Sterling appears to have no intention of giving up. Here's his attorney, Bobby Samini, on Bloomberg TV last week.
For a substantial portion of his adult life, he's groomed that team. He's been the owner for 33 years. What Donald continues to say is that the team was not for sale before the NBA issued their, you know, decree that it must be sold. And he had no intention of selling it. And that still remains his plan.
Joining us now is our favorite sports maven and sports know-it-all, Scott Soschnick, Bloomberg Sports.
Know-it-all.
Well,
wow, one sounds
I like
good,
them both.
The other sounds kind of obnoxious.
I like them both, so I just threw them both in there, and I'll think about it later.
Yeah, Mark's the know-it-all. I'll be the maven. I'm claiming maven.
Well, let me say your name at least. Scott Soschnick, Bloomberg Sports columnist. So, Scott, I remember way back when we heard these words, and you and I and Mark discussed the litigious nature of Donald Sterling. I don't know if you expected quite what we've seen.
This is exactly what we expected. It's exactly what Adam Silver expected, probably what Rick Buchanan, the general counsel, expected. Joel Litvin, attorney at the NBA. This is exactly what Donald Sterling does. So none of it comes as a surprise. Every time Donald Sterling let a coach go with time left on his contract, let's say it's 2 years, $5 or $6 million, frequently those contracts are paid out, or maybe you get a little haircut. The coach will say, okay, maybe I can go coach again immediately or whatever. Donald Sterling always says, I didn't fire you, and the coach has to wind up suing to get his money. This is what happens with Donald Sterling.
What Silver said in that soundbite is, well, if all this goes wrong, we're going to be back to point A. We're going to have to force the sale. And it seems as if there's no way around that. Even if you take all these lawsuits and there are damages and the NBA didn't do the right thing, that the sale can be forced. Is that your understanding?
Yeah. Let me bring in two words that were spoken from the witness box the other day. And the man speaking them was Richard Parsons, who was the acting CEO, and the words were death spiral. He says if Donald is allowed to own the team into next season, which is why that September 15th deadline is so important to the NBA, we're talking opening of training camps and the players are coming back, sponsors will flee. Not only that, but the coach of the team, Doc Rivers, who has sort of been the face of the franchise along with Chris Paul, but Doc was really that rallying force that kept everything together. Doc has stated that he will not coach that team. Chris Paul, who is the star player on the team, but more importantly, look at his bigger overarching title. He is the president of the NBA Players Union, and all of the players are behind him on this. He has, well, let's say, hinted that he will not play for the Clippers. What do you do if you have a big market team, playoff team, even if it was a terrible team, it doesn't really matter. But what do you do when one of your marquee franchises is in a position where the players say, I don't want to go on the court, and the coach says, I won't work here anymore? What do you do?
Well, and you've got to wonder how long this legal proceeding will take. If he loses, if Sterling loses this round and he has the right to appeal, unless things move really rapidly, it sounds like there could be a collision between the legal calendar and the NBA calendar.
Yeah, you have to wonder why, though, the other day Donald had a few hours sit down with Steve Ballmer.
Yes.
So you wonder what's going on there. Donald said this is about his integrity all along. You wonder if there isn't some deal to be worked out where perhaps the lifetime suspension is lifted. Maybe he can still go to games. This is pure speculation, but...
Well, I've read that one of the... And his lawyers have said that one of the reasons why he's been back and forth, because at one time it looked as if he was going to let the sale go forward, is because they wouldn't lift the ban and they wouldn't lift the...
The $2.5 million fine, right.
But... He filed suit against Ballmer the day after that meeting.
Exactly. Well, maybe it didn't go as well as they had hoped. Exactly. Maybe they just yelled at each other for a while. Yeah. Tough spot for the NBA, because not only might they have to go to their first stated plan, which is seize the franchise and sell it, but they can't just turn around now and hand it to Steve Ballmer. Now you've got to open it up to another round of bidding. You've got to include qualified international buyers who were excluded this time because of the speed required to get this done. What do you do if you're the NBA and let's say a Qatari wealth fund offers 2.5? Do you say no and try and steer towards Steve Ballmer anyway? And we know they want Steve Ballmer. He's a great guy to have. He's deep pockets. He's pre-cleared because of his previous dealings with the NBA in Seattle. They know what they're getting. There's no due diligence needed. I mean, he could be approved, bang, rubber stamp, quickly. But what if you've got to go now do due diligence on the assets of somebody else? And what if Sterling doesn't, if you reject it, Donald Sterling comes back because he can say that the trust was harmed because you didn't take top dollar? I mean, we're talking quagmire here.
It's difficult to keep track of the legal action involving Donald Sterling, his wife Shelley Sterling, the LA Clippers, and the National Basketball Association. It continues. He's opened a new front in his legal battle with a lawsuit accusing his wife, the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, and former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer of fraud in the proposed $2 billion sale. At the same time, there is a probate trial going on. And part of the question in that probate trial at one point was the mental capacity of Donald Sterling. And introduced at the trial was this voicemail message to Dr. Merrill Platzer from Sterling.
"And I'm going to have you lose your license. How dare you give my medical records from my head to a law firm who hired you? They hired you for the purpose of finding me incompetent. I'm not incompetent."
That was the voicemail message, and we are going to now discuss the impact of that and whether it has any impact at all on the proceedings that are now going on. Our guest is sports law attorney Daniel Wallach. He's a partner with Becker and Polyakov. Thanks so much for joining us, Daniel.
Thank you for inviting me to join you and Mark on the air. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, if you can help us straighten some of this out, we will be the ones who will be appreciative. Let's start with the mental capacity, because as I understand it, that is no longer an issue in the probate trial.
That's correct, June. The parties have stipulated that Mr. Sterling's mental capacity is not at issue in this probate court proceeding. There are only three questions that are at issue in this probate case. Number one, was Donald Sterling lawfully removed as trustee of the Sterling Family Trust on May 29th? And that question turns on whether Shelley Sterling lawfully followed the trust's procedures and obtained two independent medical evaluations that Donald Sterling was incapacitated. So his capacity is not at issue, but it can't be escaped that his behavior during the trial has been very erratic and inconsistent, and he made no friends with Judge Lavanis during the proceeding through his frequent outbursts and insults directed towards his wife. The second question that's raised by the trial is whether Donald lawfully revoked the trust 1 week after Shelley removed him as trustee. And then the third and the most important question, believe it or not, is whether the judge will enter an order that, in essence, will cut off Donald Sterling's right to appeal. And this issue is going to be addressed on Monday, and we could have a ruling by the middle of next week, and the Clippers' ownership situation could end up being resolved and settled within about a week's time.
Daniel, I've heard court observers say they believe the trial is leaning in the direction of Shelley Sterling. But do you really believe that this will be the end of it, that the judge will cut off appellate rights of someone?
Not directly. There's an obscure provision of the California Probate Code. It's called Section 1310B. Sorry to get real esoteric, but it's a provision of the probate code that allows the court to enter an order to allow the very subject matter of the appeal to go forward despite the appeal, and any action taken during the pendency of the appeal is final, meaning that if Donald wins on appeal and overturns the adverse outcome, he can't unwind the sale of the Los Angeles Clippers. He'll only be entitled to potentially money damages against all of the other parties he's sued on various legal fronts. So
is that a rarely used provision, though?
Absolutely. The California Supreme Court called its invocation very rare. Shelley has the burden of establishing that there are extraordinary circumstances present involving an imminent loss or injury to person or property. I don't believe that standard has been met here. That's typically reserved for extreme situations, such as where there's a dissipation of trust assets involving severely disabled or elderly people who depend upon the assets of the trust for their care and welfare.
But Daniel, we just had a conversation with Scott Soschnick of Bloomberg Sports about the possibility of the coach, Doc Rivers, fleeing the team if this isn't resolved when the season starts. Sponsors abandoning the team. Possibly players may not want to play. Fans may not want to come. I mean, there does seem to be the threat of economic loss if this is not resolved in time for the NBA season, and maybe that would qualify under what you've described here as the circumstances when the appeal might be denied.
Yeah, but it will never come to that. The so-called death spiral that Dick Parsons alluded to, I think that was kind of self-serving and self-interested testimony. What really is going to happen is, let's assume that Shelley Sterling doesn't run the table next week and Donald is left standing and the deal does not close by August 15th or by September 15th, which is the NBA's self-imposed deadline. The NBA will then step into the fray, restart termination proceedings, seize the franchise, and sell it at a public auction, all of which will probably have transpired by the start of the NBA season. So
you think it could all happen that quickly? What this seizure thing is interesting. This has come up now a couple of times in the discussion, that the league might seize the team. That sounds like a complicated legal thing with some kind of a hearing or trial and some kind of an appeal. That doesn't sound like a quick let's get it done by September 15 deal, but maybe you're saying that it is.
Well, if the Ballmer transaction is not finalized by September 15th, the NBA will immediately start up termination proceedings, and in a matter of days we'll probably have Donald's ownership or his ownership interest forfeited. Now, this is not a seizure in that you lose the asset. It's just simply transforming the right to sell the team from Shelley Sterling to the NBA. At the end of the day, when the dust settles, the money from the sale of the transaction is going to go to the Sterling Family Trust. So this battle really isn't over a loss of an asset, but who gets to sell it and for what price. And in my view, that quandary doesn't rise to the level of the extraordinary circumstances that are required for this provision of the California Probate Code to apply to essentially subvert Donald Sterling's appellate rights. And there's one more important overlying reason why the NBA wants this transaction to be final. It doesn't want to get its hands dirty. If it has to terminate Donald Sterling and sell the team at a public auction, Donald will open up a fifth legal front and file suit in either New York or California federal court to vacate the NBA's decision to terminate his franchise. And that could raise a lot of problems for the NBA based upon their reliance on an illegally obtained private telephone recording.
That's the original recording that everybody heard and got outraged about.
Absolutely. If Shelley is able to finalize her deal with Ballmer, that issue never comes into play. It's simply the trust, which is now headed by Shelley Sterling, entering into a privately negotiated transaction with Steve Ballmer, and the NBA's fingerprints are not over it. That all changes on September 15th if the NBA seizes the team and sells it. Then that opens up a window of opportunity for Donald to file suit in late September in federal court and argue that the termination of his ownership rights was in violation of the California constitutional right to privacy, was in violation of the public policy of both New York and California, depending on where the lawsuit is brought. In any kind of civil proceeding or administrative proceeding, the law is clear that illegally surreptitiously obtained tape recordings cannot be admitted as evidence. And if you remove that from the equation and it's inadmissible, then you've got nothing.
We're coming to a close. You could briefly answer the question of what, looking at the scenario, is likely to happen with the probate proceedings.
My prediction, or the one thing that is guaranteed, is that next week the probate court judge will issue his rulings. He will probably hold that Donald Sterling was, in fact, lawfully removed, and he will also probably apply that unique exception and allow the sale to proceed, notwithstanding any later appeal by Donald Sterling. And by the end of next week, the Clippers, two Los Angeles teams, the ownership situation of the Clippers could be finalized and resolved, and we could be at the end of that quandary with the only issues remaining Donald's suits for money damages, but that will not impact the ownership situation of the team. But Shelley does have to run the table next week. If she loses on one of those issues, this situation will remain unresolved, and then the NBA will have to get its hands dirty, and we're going to open up a new legal front.
All right, great. That lays it out for us. Daniel Wallach, we thank you. Daniel Wallach works in appellate and sports law as a partner with the firm Becker & Polyakoff down in Fort Lauderdale, laying out the scenario here on a very complicated legal case involving the controversial Donald Sterling and the LA Clippers.
And we may be discussing it next week.
Yes. Again. Well, it could get resolved, or it could go on to the next chapter.
I don't want to be, not optimistic about it, pessimistic about it, but if it were resolved, I'd be very surprised. But
yeah,
we'll see.
It does seem unlikely. We got a quick time here for a news brief. What do you got?
Former Merrill Lynch brokerage chief John Lonnie Steffens and his investment firm Spring Mountain Capital were cleared by a jury in a trial over customer losses in Bernie Madoff's $17.5 billion fraud. Following a 9-day trial, a federal jury found Steffens and Spring Mountain not liable on all claims made by former investors.
All right. That kind of wraps up the show for today. It's Bloomberg Law. I'm Mark Mills, along with my co-host, June Grasso.
Listen to Bloomberg Law weekday afternoons at 12:30 Eastern, Saturdays at 7 a.m., 12 p.m., 5 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 119. Copyright 2014. Bloomberg LP.